You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The one thing that people miss on that concept of brain health is that brain health is not just taking care of an organ. Your brain is where your personality resides. It's how you feel. It's how you interact with people. And it essentially is an organ of bringing joy and stability in your life.
You are listening to Veggie Doctor Radio, and this is episode number 147.5. Welcome to Veggie Doctor Radio. I am your host, Dr. Yami, board-certified pediatrician, certified lifestyle medicine physician, certified health and wellness coach, author, speaker, mother, wife, and human being. I passionately believe in the power of diet, habits, and mindset in sparking and sustaining well-being and joy in our lives. This podcast combines expert interviews and thoughtful monologues to explore plant-based nutrition, lifestyle medicine, parenting, mindset, and other exciting and fun topics. I hope that these episodes inspire you, uplift you, and equip you with the knowledge and tools to live your best life. Are you ready to get started? Let's do it. Veggie lovers, I have for you once again the marvelous, the fabulous, the fantastic, the amazing Doctors Aisha and Dean Shirzai, who are returning to the podcast to talk about their newest book, The 30-Day Alzheimer's Solution, a brain health conscious cookbook and lifestyle program, grounded in rigorous science and explained simply with anecdotes, recipes, and actionable steps. You need to get this book. Get it for your family members. Get it for your friends. I love it because it's just so accessible. It's written in simple language that anybody can understand. And the best thing is that you can take this information and you can start applying it. You can start using it to change your habits and behaviors, to adapt your habits and behaviors so that they will align with the vision that you have for yourself, how you want to live this life, the well-being, the health, the joy, the longevity that you want. You can find it by reading this book. Now, Team Shirzai doesn't really need an introduction. Hopefully you've heard of them. Hopefully you already follow them on social media. Generous doesn't even describe how they live their lives. Honestly, I admire them so much, and I see them as mentors, as how I want to live my life, but I feel like they just give so much to the world. They have a beautiful family, their children. They've passed down these values to their children, who are also doing fantastic things in the world. But they're just happy people that are spreading the joy of life to others. So this unique husband and wife team is on the cutting edge of brain science. Dr. Dean and Dr. Aisha Shirzai are dedicated to educating people on the simple steps to long-term health and wellness through their work as directors of the Alzheimer's Prevention Program at Loma Linda University Health, with patients as well as through online writing, videos, and books. They have so much content. They have their first book, The Alzheimer's Solution. It's fantastic. They've been on the podcast to talk about that before, but they know that there is a tsunami of diseases of the brain, such as Alzheimer's, stroke, and Parkinson's disease, which is permeating in our culture. And they want to make a difference. They know that they can make a difference by teaching other people these concepts, which, like I said, are simple. They're not complicated concepts. But the problem is we don't always apply them, or we don't consistently apply them. So this book is going to help you. So Drs. Aisha and Dean Shirzai are co-directors of the Alzheimer's Prevention Program at Loma Linda University Medical Center. They do research. They have recently done two reviews of omega-3, DHA, EPA, which we talk about in this interview. And like I said, their newest book, The 30-Day Alzheimer's Solution, will be released March 23rd. So next week, if you pre-order, you can get some cool bonuses, which I am going to do so that my parents can participate in their online program. They also have an app, which apparently is an evidence-based app that they have done research on. But in this interview, we talk about why they do the work they do, because it seems like they have so much passion and they're tireless in their work. They just give so much to the world. We talk about that. We talk about why they wrote this book and how it's different from the first book. We talk about dementia and Alzheimer's and other forms of cognitive impairment and why we need to know about these things and how prevalent they are. Also, for my own personal edification, I asked them about brain fog, what it is, why it seems so prevalent, what are some truly concerning symptoms when it comes to memory, focus, and concentration, when we should seek an evaluation, and what's normal for brain function as we age, what should we expect? Is it ever too late? Is it ever too late to make lifestyle changes to help preserve our brain function? We also talk about the Neuro 9, which is something that they talk about in their book. And then we spend some time talking about fat, saturated fat. Is it beneficial? Is it harmful? Should we be eating it? Like, you know, I feel like with the keto thing and this low carb revolution, we've been told that, hey, eat all the saturated fat you want. It's not going to hurt you. So what do they, as scientists who do their own research and review the literature and see patients and are able to affect change in their patients and their lives, what do they think about saturated fat as well as cholesterol? And then we talk about omega-3, DHA, EPA. You're going to love this conversation. It's so lively. It's so applicable. But they are so down to earth, just loving, generous people. Go out and get this book, The 30-Day Alzheimer's Solution, and get the bonuses. I wanted to release this episode immediately. We usually have a little lag time before we release episodes, but we made an effort to get this edited and to you as soon as possible so that you have time to pre-order the book, get the bonuses, be part of their program. You get time with Dr. Shirzai. They are amazing. So thank you, veggie lovers, for being on this journey with me. Thank you for listening to this episode. Thank you for supporting me, but also supporting these brilliant scientists, physicians, these generous contributors to the world. I'm sure you're anxious to hear all of this valuable information, so I won't drag it out any further. Let us welcome Drs. Aisha and Dean Shirzai. Drs. Aisha and Dean Shirzai, welcome back to Veggie Doctor Radio.
It's so wonderful to be here with you. Thank you so much for having us.
Absolutely. Well, we've already had some laughter before we started, so I know this is going to be a great interview. We're off to a great start. Before I even start with the questions, you know, as we were warming up before I hit record, Dean was talking about how much you're doing right now. You have this new book that's coming out, all of these commitments. Why do you do what you do? Why are you so passionate about it? Why does all of these things that you do matter in your life and what you want to put out into the world?
Because of the money. We want the money. We want the boats, the you know, the jet, the private jet. We call it the Toyota Sienna. Yeah, yeah. Basically, you know, all jokes aside, we do it because it is selfish, though. It is selfish. Let's just make sure that we say that ahead of time, that this false heroism, at least it's not going to come from us. We absolutely love this part of the journey. Our moms and dads did something that placed the locus of reward in helping, in serving, mm-hmm. in changing, mm-hmm. in revolutionizing, in affecting the world, in guarding the planet, and helping people 1, 2, 10, 50, 1,000 at a time. But it is pleasure. Nonetheless, it is pleasure. If it wasn't pleasurable, then I would be in doing something else. But it is wonderful. It's hard at times, but even it's almost like that when you exercise and you do, you know, you prepare for a athletic endeavor and you work hard and then you get the reward or you don't. But even that, sometimes the reward is in the endeavor itself, in the challenge itself, in the workout itself, you know. This is the same. I mean, day and night we've been working. We have our times, but reality is a lot of what we do. There is a lot of stress, but there's a lot of joy in those little micro successes, those quanta of joy and successes, whether it's publishing a new paper and it goes out and like, oh, that baby was born, you know, the placenta is out, the it's beautiful, it's the new life, it's new information into the world, and it's honest information. We did the due diligence to make sure that it is as representative, not more nor not less. When we see the patients in the clinic or in the community, yeah. every communication is not about just us giving the blood pressure medication or the, you know, cholesterol medication, which we do. We're not against medicine, or the prescription of the veggies or the prescription of exercise. But it's about that connection that makes another connection to the family, that makes another connection to the community, because we work in the communities as well, in the faith-based communities and in the communities. It's just a lot of fun too. Stress, but fun as well. So mm-hmm. That's why we do it. I mean, the journey started 17 years ago. Well, the journey started many, many years ago with her grandfather and my grandfather leading, giving us those seeds. But then we met 18 years ago. Sorry. I better be careful there. 18 years ago, and what came out of that was a conversation about the brain, the mind, Alzheimer's that had ravaged our two grandparents' minds, and we said, we're going to take a new journey, and here we are in front of you.
I love it. So beautiful, and it's true that you kind of alluded to that motivational triad, right, that we do seek pleasure and avoid pain and conserve energy. And I'm so grateful that the work that you do does give you pleasure and you keep seeking more information and knowledge and to touch more people's lives. So I think that's a perfect transition to the new book. I love your new book because I think it's going to reach so many people. It's very accessible and written for people at various levels, but I think it's especially great for people that are on the road to prevention. They might be worried about their family history, or maybe it's a worry that they just have in the back of their mind, something that I'm going to ask you about a little bit later. So tell me why you wrote this book specifically the way that you did. Was that one of your aims, to make it more open and accessible to more people?
Thank you so much for your kind words, Yami. Yes, that definitely was the reason why. When we first wrote the first book, The Alzheimer's Solution, in 2017, we made sure that we put in a lot of science in there, and that was focused on the why. And this book, The 30-Day Alzheimer's Solution, is the how. How do you implement all these healthy lifestyles in your life?
And the way we think about it based on our work with patients, and you've come across this, you do this as well, it has to be something that people can implement. It has to be easy. Mm-hmm. And if, for example, specifically when it comes to food, it has to be tasty, it has to be healthy, and it doesn't have to take a long time for people to make it, right? So mm-hmm. we focused on the application part, and also wanted to focus on the fact that your brain is like any other organ in your body. Sometimes people feel that the brain is a completely secluded organ that is not affected by things you do, but it does. It does get affected, actually, even more. This incredible organ is the most active organ in the body, and it does a lot of things. It's our feelings, it's our emotions, it's our personalities. And so we have to take care of it to become a better version of ourselves. And so the application part is something that we focused on a lot in this book.
Yes. No, I think it came through really well. And I do feel like you presented it in a way that's simple, and it has enough science in there, but I feel like those people that might get bogged down by the too much science, like they get turned off by, I don't understand this, it makes it accessible to them. So that's what I really like. So why should we all be aware of or concerned about Alzheimer's disease and other forms of cognitive impairment? Is this something that most people will encounter in their lives? Why should we even be thinking about it?
Most people will encounter in their life. If we live in the West, we will all encounter. It's the number one cause of mortality and morbidity in UK and Japan and a lot of Western countries. That's number three in US and will be number one. It's the fastest growing epidemic outside of COVID when it was growing. And it will continue to grow. And that's the reason we're seeing it. We will be seeing it, and it will be affecting us profoundly. The cost, the human cost, is just bewildering. It's the most devastating disease, because you see the person that you knew, the loved one, losing parts of themselves in small increments day after day after day, which is the most painful way of seeing it. And then the person becomes anxious. The financial cost is bewildering. I mean, the second costliest disease is heart disease at $120 billion. All cancers together, mm-hmm. $70 billion. Direct cost of Alzheimer's is $305 billion. Indirect cost, another $240 billion. And that number is expected to climb to as much as nearly $3 trillion combined in a few decades. That will by itself collapse our system. So we have to address it. We have to be aware of it. But the part that I want the audience to be aware of is that much of it is avoidable. That was controversial 15 years ago or 10 years ago when we first started coming out with this. We actually coined the term preventive neurology. It was so controversial that we wouldn't get invited to conferences. But a couple of years ago in Alzheimer's Association International Conference, the main plenary talk was prevention is the new cure. Now this is the path. Now it's popular. Now everybody's jumping in, even non-neurologists into and it's fine. This is about doing something. It's important that people do it for the right reason and the right way, and they're not just doing it just to, you know, but in any case, there's a lot of hope. If we make the right changes, small incremental changes, will have profound effect on our brain. We're behavioral neurologists, so as much as we focus on nutrition, we both have masters in nutrition and research, and we focus on that. But what's most important is behavior, and how do you give tools to individuals where they can inculcate it and slowly incorporate it into their life in small increments that become habit, that become personality, that become character, that become culture of the family, that become a movement in the region, in the community.
Yes.
That's our goal. So we're not into, let's see if we can, eat broccoli. We know broccoli works. You don't have to convince us. We're not in the in the camp that says, it's, keto this. No. All of that science is junk science. We are open to science if new things appear, but the data shows plants. There's no question. And so we got that. No more clinical trials. Let's apply it to communities. So that's why most of this book comes out of our behavioral approach, because we have led the largest community-based brain initiative in the country, in beach cities and in other places, and faith-based communities. So we're actually now applying it at the community level through our Healthy Minds Initiative, which is a non-for-profit. And we think it's at that stage that we can work on. Mm-hmm. And it's also important for people to know that if you're having minor cognitive issues, don't worry. Especially at that stage, you can reverse it. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to buy anything from me or anybody else. In fact, you don't even have to buy our book. Well, yeah, you need the advice from somewhere, so might as well buy the book. But the point is, it's not a gimmick. It's not the biohack or brain hack of the day. It's about complex, comprehensive approach. And that's why with the book that we're putting out on the 23rd, there's also an app that's the only app that's been tested in a study, as well as a course, a one-month course that comes with it. So it's not just a book. It's a one-month course for those who pre-order, as well as an app that tells them how to go forward and gives them the scores and everything. So it's a very, very, very comprehensive approach. We don't make everything we make, every penny we make goes towards the Healthy Minds Initiative, which is to raise awareness about brain diseases.
Yes, that's key. And it's something that I talk about all of the time, is habits and behaviors. That is what's going to get us that health, well-being, longevity. It's habits and behaviors. Habits and behaviors seem so simple, but that does take work, especially if you have different habits and behaviors that aren't aligning with your goals. So yeah, I love how in your book you talk about SMART goals and really thinking about this in a way that isn't judgmental. You know, it's a very coach based approach to how can we put things in place in our lives that are going to get us the results we want, which is health, well-being, longevity, joy, all of these beautiful things. That's wonderful. Well, let me deviate just a little bit. And this, I will say, is selfish for me because I'm 41 years young. The other day, I had a new family in the office with a newborn, and the dad was asking me all these questions about how long I had been practicing and, you know, been out from residency 12 years. And he was just like, wow, you look really young. And I was like, well, thank you. But I feel like my brain is 41. So like you both, busy, have so many demands on me, lots of things I want to do. And so I feel like sometimes I experience this brain fog, although I'm not really sure what brain fog really is. You do mention it in your book. So I'd love to talk about, what is brain fog? Why do we even talk about this? I feel like everybody's talking about brain fog these days. Why is it so prevalent? And how is it related to cognitive impairment, if at all?
Yeah. So I'll start then. This is your field too.
Yeah.
So and brain fog is not a thing in itself. It's a feel. You know it in its absence. So this is the most common thing we hear in our clinic. Mm-hmm. After they've gone through a process, after they've gone through the lifestyle changes, after they've gone through the difficulty, because any change is difficult, not because of the thing you're changing, because change is difficult. And especially if you're giving up sugar and fat, which are addiction drugs, intrinsically addiction drugs, you're going to have a withdrawal. But then after you've gone past the, you know, 1 month or so, all of a sudden people say, oh my gosh, now I know what it means when they say the fog has lifted. Mm-hmm. And so in its absence, you become aware of it. And it's a greater focus, period. It's greater focus. And the greater focus you kind of recognize from your youth, even people who have ADD, I'm telling you, when you get older, the thing that's actually affected the most is focus, mm-hmm. and attention. Mm-hmm. And for multiple reasons, we're not going to get into the details of the neuroscience of that, but it is. But that can be built. Mm-hmm. And that's what we see the most.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think it's that loss of the sharpness and the capacity to stay focused and stay on a subject and kind of build on that. You know, like sometimes when you are in the middle of a conversation or when you're handling a whole lot of things, there are multiple layers to that activity. How do you hang on to a thought of your daughter or your son telling you something, remembering that, and then moving on to something else and taking care of that, and then coming back
back to the conversation with your daughter or your son and taking it on from there. So that that level of complexity sometimes lost. And of course, it's multifactorial. But the good news is it can be built. It can be fixed. And one can have profound brain capacity moving forward at any age. And that's what we say all the time to our community members and patients too.
Yeah. Well, and I noticed for myself that if I spend too much time on social media, my focus and my attention definitely goes down. And I feel that feeling of like, I can't focus on anything, you know, like I can't hold anything. I forget all these words and all of this stuff. So I do believe that, that it can be built, but it can also be unlearned by spending too much time on different multitasking, different ways, and trying to take in too many pieces of information at once. So moving on from there, so say there's a lot of us, maybe my age, women and, you know, middle age, where we start feeling some of these symptoms. What are truly concerning symptoms when it comes to memory, focus, and concentration? So what are the signs of cognitive, like true cognitive impairment, where it prompts somebody to go see a professional to see if there's something really going on?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because that can be a point of concern for a lot of individuals too, right? I mean, we all have memory lapses. We've all been to a room kind of staring at the walls and saying to ourselves, hey, why did I come in here, right? I mean, we've all had that happen to us. And by definition, when people tend to have memory problems or focus problems to the point that it starts affecting their activities of daily living profoundly, not just one time, that's concerning, and they should definitely go and get themselves checked. As far as the pathology is concerned, so let's just talk about the worst, right? Dementia, which is the umbrella category. Dementia means when people have memory problems to the point where they can't really do the same things that they were able to do for themselves. Mm-hmm. And then there are different phases before that too. For example, so Alzheimer's is the main type of dementia, right? So before that actually happens, there is a stage called mild cognitive impairment. Mild cognitive impairment is when you're having a lot of memory lapses, but you still can drive, you can still write checks and take care of your finances, you can still cook and clean the house and kind of, you know, not be affected too much by it. But you've kind of crossed the line and you've come to the zone of mild cognitive impairment. Now, before that, you know, people always get concerned and get themselves checked when they have memory problems, when they're in the mild cognitive impairment, or most of the time when they're already in the dementia stage, which is devastating. But, you know, memory problems don't happen all of a sudden. There's no, you know, sharp line where you, when you cross it, you have it, and when you don't cross it, you don't have it. It's a spectrum. We start having cognitive decline in our 20s and 30s, and it's like a slow decline in cognition. That kind of sounded crazy and scary, but this is not to scare anyone. But we do, and that it happens because of multiple things. And first of all, you know, our brain capacity is at its peak in our 20s. And then from then on, we try to get focused on specific things and not really, we're not able to kind of expand, or at least we don't push our brain to expand. Mm-hmm. And then life happens, you know, whether it's our vascular risk factors or what we eat or what kind of friends we keep or what kind of life situations we're in. All of that affects our focus and attention, which is the gateway to memory and consciousness. And if we don't take care of it during those stages of life, it will definitely push us towards the mild cognitive impairment stage and dementia stage. So we say, no matter what age you're at, try to focus on things where you can't, you can actually expand your cognitive capacity. The one thing that happens to our age group, because Yami, you and I are both in the same age category, is we think that multitasking is natural, but there is no such thing as multitasking. It's doing multiple things badly. And so what happens is we take on a whole lot of things and we do poorly in all of them. And that really does affect our confidence levels, and we think that there's something wrong, but the brain doesn't function that way. We say do multiple things, but kind of, you know, put them in different silos, in different channels. Finish one thing and then start another, then another, then another, instead of doing multiple things at the same time. And of course, there are so many other lifestyle factors that we can bring on to take care of our brain and be and function very well. Because like I said earlier, at any stage, we can make more connections between our brain cells. We can improve our memory. We can improve our processing speed. We can improve our capacity to judge and apprehend and you know, delineate between what is important and what is not continuously.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that so much.
Extension on the multitasking. Multitasking also does another thing. It actually kindles, it feeds the fire of anxiety, because when you're doing multiple things, it doesn't mean that you're going to fail all of them, but there's no way that you can actually get that feeling of dopamine release. I know that the concept of dopamine release is overused, but in this case, we'll use it, where you feel a sense of satisfaction. And those are micro satisfactions. And if you're doing multiple things, even if you're succeeding, you're not giving yourself a chance to experience that satisfaction. That satisfaction is not just anti-anxiety. That satisfaction is anti-depression. Because if a deluge, if a bunch of them are accumulated, because you've just created small quanta of behavior where you're accomplishing, succeeding, checking off either mentally or literally, and then accumulating these, this creates what true motivation is. Mm-hmm. This creates a true path. This creates a whole wall of anti-anxiety. It creates a whole wall of antidepression. It's not going to get rid of it, but it creates this movement towards the positive. That's a critical thing. What we do, most of us, is we take on a bunch of things and never break them down into specific, measurable, attainable little quanta. Mm. And that is important for multiple reasons. This book is focused on the behavior. I know there are 75 recipes. Aisha is also a cook. She's got all the talent. I just do, you know, I come for the looks, basically. And I'm gonna, you know, for the body and like, okay. Yeah, but
we need
but reality is we need. But it's critical that we kind of focus on the behavior, because if we don't fix the behavior, and we don't get those tools of behavior change, we're going from diet to diet and fail it because it's not satisfying something. So it's not about the change of this to that or replacing this or that or a superfood of this. It's a whole feeling of success in a direction.
Mm. Yes.
Or we go from exercise plan to exercise plan and fail it and think it's something wrong with the exercise. It's nothing wrong with the exercise or your timing. So we have to create the behavioral model that everything's built around. And that's what this whole book, app, and the course, at least for the pre-orders, are all about.
Hey humans, I know you want to eat healthier but feel strapped for time, and even the thought of meal planning and cooking stresses you out. Well, have you considered trying a meal kit service? Green Chef is the number one meal kit for eating well, delivering pre-portioned and prepped quality whole foods with limited processed ingredients. Green Chef sends organic, fresh produce, and chef-designed recipes in every box for satisfying, nourishing, and convenient meals that make it easy to stick to a healthy living routine. Find recipes for every lifestyle, including plant-based diets. Green Chef delivers quality whole foods with limited processed ingredients, including low-added sugar and sodium smart options. You get to choose from 80-plus flavor-packed options that allow you to take back time in your kitchen with dinner ready in 30 minutes and lunch in 10. Try 15-plus new recipes every week. But here's the best part. Green Chef delivers everything you need to make convenient, wholesome, and delicious meals directly to your doorstep. Each meal kit includes pre-measured ingredients, as well as some produce that comes already pre-chopped, and custom sauces that are pre-made in-house. They also provide their recipe cards, and the meals are really simple to make. It's a delicious, fresh, home-cooked meal without the hassle. What I love the most about Green Chef is that it takes the stress out of cooking. The recipes are easy to follow and everything you need is included, so even the less experienced cooks in your house can make a delicious home-cooked meal. It's perfect for those seasons in your life that you're really busy with your kids' sports and school events. Hello, spring! And time is limited, especially if you want fresh, home-cooked, healthy meals to put on the table. So if you're feeling frustrated by the lack of time to eat healthy and you are ready to try Green Chef and see how easily you can integrate it into your healthy lifestyle, go to greenchef.com/IamHuman50 and use code IamHuman50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your next 2 months. That's greenchef.com/IamHuman50 and use the code IamHuman50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your next 2 months. Green Chef, the number one meal kit for eating well. Equilibria is a woman-owned wellness brand with products intended to bring your mind and body back in harmony. They consider themselves a by women and for women company, and they now offer a nutrient-dense green powder called Daily Nutri-Greens. Myself and my staff here at Nourish Wellness all tried the Daily Nutri-Greens and we loved it. The Daily Nutri-Greens contain an immune antioxidant and detox blend along with prebiotics, probiotics, and over 35 fruits and veggies. It also contains other important nutrients such as B12, iron, zinc, and selenium. The Daily Greens are certified organic and all you have to do is mix it with water, but you can also easily add to your smoothies, your oatmeal, or your baked goods. The Daily Nutri-Greens are vegan, gluten-free, and non-GMO. And another bonus is that the packaging is compostable. Yay! When I tried the apple banana Daily Nutri-Greens, I was surprised by the pleasant and mild flavor. It was easy to prepare and drink and didn't leave any aftertaste. And I felt great afterwards. It's really easy to create a daily ritual around your green drink. Integrate it into your daily self-care routine. A green powder is one way to fill the gap in daily nutrition and is an easy and convenient way to get in your greens. These powders are a great way to add more nutrients into your diet during busy times, travel, and transitions in life when you don't have time or access to fresh green veggies. If you're interested in trying Equilibria's Daily Nutri-Greens, head to myeq.com and use code Dr. Yami, that's DRYAMI, for 15% off Equilibria's Daily Nutri-Greens and much more. That's myeq.com and use code Dr. Yami, DRYAMI, at checkout for 15% off site-wide today.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
And now for a very important message. Hey, veggie lover, if you are looking for free resources to guide you on your plant-based and healthy living journey, go to dryami.com/free for tons of free downloadable PDFs. Hundreds of people have taken advantage of my tips to help them reduce meat and dairy consumption, navigate eating out, and build satisfying plant-based meals. Download one or download them all, and don't forget to share with friends and family. DrYami.com/free. And now back to the episode.
Yes. Yeah. So you're describing is that feeling of self-efficacy whenever you have accomplished a goal, and that gives you the confidence that you can accomplish a subsequent goal. And what you're saying is that builds upon each other. But what's key in these habit and behavior changes is that you have to subsist, you have to continue long enough to get that feeling of confidence before, you know, you quit and try something different. You're never going to get there. You're never going to get that self-efficacy. And what I heard you say, Aisha, is that unfortunately, you know, the natural history of the brain is that after 20, things, you know, may start declining a bit. We don't have as much function, but there's no clear point in time when we're just like perfect and then demented. This takes time, mm-hmm. but
the hope that you're giving us is that there are things that we can do to preserve that brain function, to optimize that brain function, to protect it so that we can have the brain we'd like to have for longer. I think a lot of people feel like it's too late. They feel like, you know, I've been eating hamburgers and French fries and sitting around and not exercising for 50 years. They feel like maybe it's too late for them. So what would you say to these people that feel like, whether it's just been 3 decades, 4 decades, 5 decades or more, that it's too late? They've done the damage and there's nothing that they can do to help.
It's never too late. It's not late because the brain is, you know, as susceptible as it is, as sensitive as it sounds, and it kind of is, it's a really fussy organ. But at the same time, it's a very, very resilient organ. And if we give it the right environment and the right foods and the right movement and the right settings, it can continuously grow. And this is not just an opinion. This comes from loads and loads of research that we have, and a lot of data that has accumulated over decades showing is that even at, you know, if you're in your 50s or 60s, if you start implementing healthy life, if you start doing the right things, if you manage your risk factors properly, your brain will continue to grow. The one aspect that we need to talk about right now is that if somebody has dementia already, and if somebody has been diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease, there really isn't anything anyone can do. And I have to say this with great emphasis, because there are a lot of doctors out there that are essentially selling their services or products or et cetera, coming up with language that you can reverse Alzheimer's disease or you can reverse some other type of dementia. And that is not true. We take this very seriously because we work in the clinic and we really care for our dementia patients. And it's really playing with our hopes and playing with the hopes of their family members. So it's important for us to kind of delineate that and kind of put that on the side. But short of having a diagnosis of dementia, anyone can grow their brain, whether they're in their, you know, when in their teens or whether they're in their 50s. And we have had studies where, say, for example, you know, there was a study that came out a few years ago showing that people who were in their 50s and 60s and already had a diagnosis of mild cognitive impairment, which was a pre-Alzheimer's state, when they started doing exercises, especially strengthening exercises of their legs, their hippocampus, which is a part of the brain that is involved in memory encoding, it actually grew in size. And they were able to completely reverse their diagnosis of mild cognitive impairment and become normal. And there have been multiple other studies too. So there's a lot we can do at any stage in our life. And I think the one thing that people miss on that concept of brain health is that brain health is not just taking care of an organ. Your brain is where your personality resides. It's how you feel. It's how you interact with people. And it essentially is an organ of bringing joy and stability in your life. And so we have to take care of this brain. And the beautiful thing is, if you take care of your brain, you've taken care of the rest of your body, because the same pathology, whether it's inflammation, oxidation, whether it's abnormalities in metabolism of glucose or lipids, applies to your heart, to your kidneys, to your muscles, to your skin. So, you know, thankfully that the theory and the concept is the same. When you take care of your brain, you've taken care of the rest of your body.
Yes. Yeah, I love that, because it's a one-stop approach for everything. You don't have to have a different plan for your brain, a different plan for, you know, decreasing your risk of heart disease or diabetes, you know. It's all the same plan, thankfully, so that we could just focus on aligning ourselves with those behaviors that's going to put us on that plan for the long term. So let's get into it then. Let's talk about the Neuro 9 that you outline in your book. What are those Neuro 9?
Okay, so when we were putting together the book, you know, Dean and I are very anti-gimmicky, and we always are very, very critical of ourselves putting language out there, because we've been trained as scientists, and we are
you know, we have all the degrees, but it doesn't really matter. But we just kind of hold ourselves accountable as far as the science is concerned. So at the risk of becoming a little gimmicky, we said, I think it's going to be fun for people to remember certain foods and to apply that and include that in their dietary habits. We're not for superfood of the day. We don't even believe in the concept of superfood, nor do we espouse the concept of reductionism in nutrition. You can't really eat one food. We eat multiple different things, and it's the synergy between the foods that affects our body. That said, that was a long preamble, wasn't
it? It's a lot of apologies. Yeah. So
I think it's fine that you have the Neuro 9.
Yeah. The Neuro 9, that tells you a little bit about my psychology, what's going on in my head. The Neuro 9 are essentially 9 foods that we chose that essentially stand out in any dietary pattern, whether it's the Mediterranean diet or the MIND diet or the DASH diet. And these foods have the highest amount of evidence of being helpful for the brain. So we wanted to include that, and we wanted to essentially encourage people to eat it on a regular basis. And the Neuro 9s are green leafy vegetables, for obvious reasons. We all agree that greens are probably the healthiest food on earth with their amount of anti-inflammatory and antioxidant compounds
and fiber. Greens,
right? So the next one are beans. Beans are great sources of clean plant-based proteins and a lot of fiber and so many other micronutrients that come along with it. Then we have whole grains. There's been a war against whole grains, and it just comes from a very false part of our existence. Whole grains are incredibly important. They're great for our brain health. It gives us enough energy, and the amount of nutrients that are packed in it is just astounding. So greens, beans, whole grains, and then berries, especially blueberries or blackberries. The dark color have a lot of phytonutrients, and we actually have studies that show that people who consume blueberries on a regular basis, they have lower risk of Alzheimer's disease. Then we have nuts and seeds, which are great sources of mono and polyunsaturated fats. Seeds can also be a great resource for omega-3 fatty acids, which we can talk about a little bit more. It is the only type of fat that the brain needs on a daily basis. We have herbs and spices, which pound for pound have the most anti-inflammatory compounds. We have green tea. And goodness, did I forget one? It would be bad if I forgot one.
I think cruciferous vegetables is one of them.
There you go. Correct. Yes. Correct. As far as vegetables are concerned, crucifers stand out. So we have, you know, things like broccoli and cauliflower and Brussels sprouts and kale and arugula, which is also a crucifer. And they have sulforaphanes and compounds that really fight oxidation and inflammation in our body and our brain. And if we could actually make meals that include these Neuro 9s, and that's what all the recipes are focused on, the chances of fighting inflammation and providing the right kind of nutrients for the brain to grow and thrive is immense.
By the way, these are not the only foods. There are many other good foods. But these have the four mechanisms that we talk about underlining a lot of the chronic disease of brain aging is inflammation, oxidation, glucose dysregulation, and lipid dysregulation. Mm-hmm. And these foods have the kind of substances that stabilize all of those the most. Now, this is not perfect science, and but if we eat a lot of these in every day, my goodness, we will have changed the damage that's done by our standard American diet significantly.
Yes. No, I love the list. Well, I particularly love it because I pretty much eat everything on there. The one question I had is the tea. So you had green tea, oolong, and I think one other that you listed. They're all caffeinated tea. So I'm wondering if the intention of that is to help steer the coffee drinkers towards tea, because what about for people that are caffeine free? Would you recommend like an herbal tea, or is water just fine?
Herbal tea is great too. So the compounds in tea are the ones that are beneficial. In multiple studies coming from Asia, from other countries where people drink tea on a regular basis, they've noticed that the consumption of tea was associated with lower risk of dementia and cognitive impairment. Mm-hmm. There's really, as far as caffeine is concerned, there's really nothing wrong with drinking a cup or two of coffee even. Even coffee has been associated with lower risk of dementia. However, it's contextual. If somebody has, say, for example, anxiety or high blood pressure or some sort of an abnormal rhythm in their heart, they should steer away from caffeine as much as possible because it can induce anxiety or arrhythmias, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, even a cup or two of coffee is okay. But we picked up tea because of just the immense amount of data that's on it. People who consume green tea or black tea, regardless of the content of their caffeine, benefit from it a lot.
Yes. We always preface things by saying, to the best of our knowledge today.
Yes, absolutely.
Science moves.
Yeah.
Science changes. Usually in the same, you know, the direction is not going to change massively. It's not going to be like quantum mechanics versus Newtonian. Plants are beneficial, but the benefits of coffee at this point are strong. I mean, all nutrition is correlational to a great extent, but strongly correlational. The benefits of tea are actually stronger. So it's always about the weight. When people from outside come into nutrition, they think things are in a binary fashion. Mm-hmm. Zero, you know, all or none. It's contextual. Yes. And if we don't give it context, it's really doing disservice. Yeah. So that's the context.
Yes, so important. Well, let's shift really quick to fat, because I think this is, you know, right now in our culture, it's so debated. Saturated fat, beneficial or harmful to the brain?
Harmful.
I don't think there's any debate about that.
Well, there's a whole camp of...
Yeah, you know, there's people... Well, I guess people say there's a debate. Maybe the evidence isn't truly there. But I think what's hard is that the public sees these experts saying, everybody was wrong, you know, like eat all the cholesterol you want, eat all the saturated fat, eat butter, eat bacon. It's fine. It's good for your brain. Yeah. Actually, there's some people that say that it's good for your brain. So that it really confuses people. But... you, as the true scientist showing the evidence, what I hear you saying is that no, saturated fat does not benefit our brain.
No, it's the reason I said that there's no debate about that is because when you look at the body of science and the consistency of science, right? I mean, I could spend hours talking about a one-off paper that said aluminum is great for your brain, right? Mm. Or I could start talking about this one paper that talks about how banging your head against the wall can make you think better. But when you look at the amount of data that has come to us over many, many years and the consistency of the message in different lines of research, whether it's observational or clinical trials or case series, et cetera, you see that the major volume of the data points to one direction, which says saturated fats are not good for you. It's not good for your brain. It's not good for your heart. It's not good for your kidneys. It's not good for aging in general. It's not even good for children. As far as the general concept of fat is concerned, you know, fat is not bad. It's the type of fat that matters. Saturated fats and trans fatty acids have been associated with harm in the body, while mono and polyunsaturated fats have not, right? So if people derive their fats from nuts and seeds and avocados and a little bit of extra virgin oil, we'll talk about that in a little detail because it's important, they actually benefit from it. When you hear people say that the brain is made out of fat and you should eat fat because, you know, you need it, that is such a false statement. Yes, the brain is made out of fat, but the kind of fat that's in our brain is structural fat, which means that the walls of the cells and the structures of the nerves are made up of fat and they're replaced by the cholesterol that is made in the body. But the only type of fat that the brain needs on a daily basis are omega-3 fatty acids. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. And then just to clarify, for those that eat a plant-based diet, when it comes to whole foods and fats in the plants, the majority of it is going to be low in saturated fat, except for coconut oil, palm oil. And then the other one that I realized recently was pretty high in saturated fat is actually cocoa butter, which cocoa butter it's like 50 to 60% saturated fat. But yeah. So those three would be pretty high in saturated fat. So if you eat a lot of those foods, that might be something to watch out for. But besides that, in a plant-based diet, really relatively low in saturated fat compared to the omnivorous or the standard American diet, which is actually very high in saturated fat coming absolutely. From animals. So
absolutely.
Okay, so you kind of already started to touch on this, but I need to ask it because this comes up over and over. I know I've talked to you guys about this before. I get asked this question all the time. Can your cholesterol intake or your total blood cholesterol be too low for proper cognitive function? There are some people that when they transition to a plant-based diet, miraculously and wonderfully, their cholesterol goes down, which is something we see over and over, right? And so for some people, it goes down very low. Like mine, actually, the lowest I've had it tested was 100, my total cholesterol. So does that affect cognitive function, or do people not have to worry about that?
There's no solid evidence that too low of a blood cholesterol is harmful to the brain. None. I mean, we're talking about solid data. Like Aisha said earlier, you know, there are over 100-something thousand papers are published every year in PubMed. A significant proportion of them are junk. Significant proportion of them are made up, and so they're not peer reviewed, or they're not, you know, of the weight that one would give them a validity. But when you look at the weight and bulk of the data, no, there's no evidence. So the relationship between low cholesterol and any pathology that's been seen is in hemorrhagic stroke. But even that data is not fully vetted. That data also comes from when they lower the cholesterol with medication aggressively, and it goes really low, and then there's a higher level of and then where there is some data with population-based studies, which just came from UK Biobank recently, that, you know, people who had were on a plant-based diet had a higher stroke. The data was so flawed that it's not even worth mentioning. I mean, the numbers were just atrocious. It was bewildering to us that they would publish something where 25% of the population that they looked at was misclassification. So how could you know that the population that's left behind is not skewed because of the misclassification? In fact, it was. It was not truly representative of the general population. So there is no data that, you know, low cholesterol levels would lead to dementia. In fact, if we look at the bigger population, lowering blood cholesterol is one of the most effective things to lower chronic diseases, be it heart disease, be it kidney disease, be it stroke, be it dementia. So I would worry more on those endpoints of those diseases than the one-off paper or the obscure cases that have come of pathology as a result of low cholesterol.
As a matter of fact, we actually have evidence showing that when your midlife cholesterol has been uncontrolled and high, your risk of developing Alzheimer's goes up by 57%. Wow. In one study from the Kaiser Permanente Northern California study. And even a borderline high cholesterol increased the risk by 23%. So lower your cholesterol, the better your brain health is. And I'm a vascular neurologist, Yami, so I treat strokes in the emergency room and in the hospital. And people think that, you know, when you eat fat, it kind of directly goes into your brain. It doesn't. Our brain has this blood-brain barrier. It's like a tight junction that doesn't allow larger molecules to pass through into the brain tissue. So it doesn't allow saturated fats to go into the brain tissue or cholesterol. Omega-3 fatty acids are small enough to actually pass through that junction and get deposited in the brain. But the rest of the fat particles, they actually get deposited in the arteries. And we have millions and millions of branches of these arteries that are responsible for blood perfusion to the parts of the brain. And we get what we refer to as microvascular disease, which are damage to the small little arteries. And that can actually cause dementia later on.
Yeah.
Vascular dementia or vascular cognitive impairment. So the lower your cholesterol, the better your brain health is.
Yeah, and that's actually, unfortunately, what my maternal grandfather has. He has vascular dementia and hardworking man all of his life. But, you know, grew up eating lots of fried pork rinds and cheese and butter and milk. So unfortunately, yes, that does affect your brain. Yeah. So you mentioned omega-3, and this is something that I've wanted to talk to you about for a long time. And I know that you did this big review, and I'm just dying to know what you learned about the omega-3 DHA EPA. Who should consider supplementing with algal oil? And do you have any clues about how much, how often, and how important it is for children versus adults? And now for a very important message. Hey mama, if you are feeling frustrated about mealtime battles, worried that your child isn't eating enough or eating enough vegetables, afraid that your child is going to get some awful deficiency or disease because of the lack of diversity in their diet, I wrote a book that might be for you. A Parent's Guide to Intuitive Eating, How to Raise Kids Who Love to Eat Healthy is available in paperback, ebook, and audiobook through all major online booksellers. Did you know that most children are born with the innate ability to eat the appropriate amount of food to satisfy their hunger and support appropriate growth? Despite this, parents are still anxious and confused about how much and what to feed their children. In addition, many children are labeled as picky eaters or develop behaviors such as hiding and sneaking food. There's also a growing epidemic of dieting behaviors and eating disorders beginning at alarmingly young ages. In my book, you'll learn the five pillars of healthy eating, how to apply intuitive eating through all the stages of development, lifestyle habits that support healthy eating and body image, troubleshooting and problem solving for picky eaters, overeating, and dieting behaviors, how to create and foster a healthy body image in your children, how exploring your own body image and relationship with food will help raise an intuitive eater, and what foods to offer your child at different stages of development. A Parent's Guide to Intuitive Eating, How to Raise Kids Who Love to Eat Healthy, available in paperback, ebook, and audiobook through all major online booksellers. Are you ready for a fresh approach to feeding your child? For more information, visit dryami.com/book. And now, back to the episode.
We did two reviews, as you said, one for omega-3 in the developing brain, omega-3 in the aging brain. There hasn't been really great research done. There's been a lot of research done, but not great research. So you don't have conclusive evidence one way or the other. But the trends, as interpreted by us, is that for a certain population, there needs to be greater either emphasis or supplementation. Emphasis means you really, really have to be hyper aware of where you're getting your omega-3s, how you're reducing your omega-6s, how you're keeping your liver healthy to do that ALA to DHA, EPA-THA conversion. But if you are worried, then for children, for women who are pregnant, for lactating women, and for people who are getting older and are having some memory issues, there seems to be some relationship with supplementation and benefit. That's basically it. And in science, like I said, you don't have to have perfect data, but there's enough data there that we actually take it. Our kids take it, algae-based supplements, and that's basically it. And even the quantification is not perfect. So yeah. On the adult side, it's a little higher than we expected. You know, usually they say 1,000 micromilligrams. And then for children, it's not even well known. Yeah. So we just basically give the dose not well known. Yeah. So it's reality is the one thing that should stand out is that the brain needs, especially developing and an aging brain, needs a lot of omega-3. Mm-hmm. We need DHA. We need DHA quite a bit. And one has to be aware of that. And we do, when you're in a deprivation state, and if you're not in a good dietary state, you might be lacking omega-3, which would definitely affect your brain.
Yes. And, you know, this could be a whole podcast episode by itself, but I think what's important for my listeners to understand is that there's this balance between the omega-3 and the omega-6 fatty acids. And so typically in the standard American diet, the omega-6 are very, very high. So we're eating all this fried foods and oils and things like that, where then so that balance is what shifts that omega-3 down. So even if you are eating your walnuts and your flaxseeds, sometimes you may not be converting enough over to make up for that high amount of omega-6, pushing the balance to one of inflammation. So yeah, well, I'm glad that you did the review and are helping us understand a little bit more of the data. But I agree. I feel like it's just one of those places where it seems like the benefit is there to supplement. But then after that, it's like, okay, how much and who really needs it for sure? But as far as what I do in my practice and my patients is I tell families about it and why it might be important. And then they can decide if they want to supplement or not. So, okay.
Exactly.
This has been so much fun. I have just a couple more questions for y'all. Just fun questions. What would be your wildest dream come true for the world?
I would like our relationship with the planet to change. For one of just surviving, and although we're faking it, like we're all working together and for the good of the planet, no, we're everybody's just in a survival mode. You know, we were talking about the philosopher Thomas Hobbes, where you know it's just survival, a war of all against all. It shouldn't be that. We are amazing species that can do so much for each other. We don't have to create camps. We don't have to create separations at all. That's contrived. We can actually give of ourselves for those that need more so that there is equity and equality and greater growth together, a rising tide. We can also get beyond ourselves and start looking at the planet and what we're doing to this amazingly gorgeous planet and all the inhabitants of this planet. I would like us to become guardians. I mean, I don't want to sound like the guard. I mean, I know I have two kids that keep watching that movie, Guardians of the Galaxy. Forget about the galaxy. It will take care of itself. Guardians of the planet. Mm-hmm. We would like, you know, it would be wonderful if we could be guardians of this beautiful planet together without these false delineations, false separations. And for those who have more, to give more. For those who feel more, give more love.
Yes. Oh, that sounded so beautiful.
A little too poetic, but it is what it is. Oh, I'll go with that one.
Yeah. I don't think that I can top that off, but I, you know, as a family, we talk about this concept all the time, Dean and I and the kids together, to essentially position ourselves to be the guardians of this beautiful planet. And I think once we take on that responsibility, everything else falls in place, because once you put yourself in a situation where you you take on that task, then what your career, your daily activities, everything else is going to be focused on that bigger picture.
Yes. What do you wish more people knew?
I'm gonna cut in here.
All right.
I wish they knew how tasty Aisha's cooking, plant-based cooking is. Then they wouldn't feel deprived, and they wouldn't even go for those nasty prion filled burgers and food. I'm bringing back the book thing, but reality is I wish they knew how tasty a beautiful plant-based food and healthy it can be.
Well, I think we're all working towards that wish, aren't we, Yami? Mm-hmm. You are, we are. I wish people would know that it's not difficult to take care of your health and to live a beautiful life with your mm-hmm. loved ones. And that, you know, by making small changes at your home and in your community, that dream can become a reality.
Oh, so beautiful. No, but I kind of agree with Dean. I mean, I think I'm a pretty good cook. I do. I do have the ability to make my way around the kitchen. I can create wonderful things. But when I see pictures of your food, Aisha, yeah. I want you to adopt me, for real though. I don't know how you get any other work done, because I would just basically just eat all day. That's just what I would do. It just looks amazing. Like my mouth is watering Thank right you. Now thinking of the beautiful recipes you have in this book. Oh, so
that
so
makes
wonderful.
Me so happy. Thank you so much for saying that.
You guys are both amazing. I just, my soul wants to jump out and be transported to where you are so I could just spend time with you more. But we are short on time, and I know you have so much work to do. So please tell me how my listeners can connect with you, get your book and all of this wonderful stuff you're talking about with the app and the program. How can they get on this train?
We love and admire you so much, Yami. Everything you do for the world, for your platform, everything that you stand for is absolutely beautiful. And when we're a family, we're connected. We'll yes. have more conversations in the future. Thank you for helping us disperse this message of hope. People can find this book anywhere that you know that essentially sells books. We encourage people to buy it from their local bookstores and support their local bookstores because it's important for us to reach out to each other and care for each other. One important thing that I wanted to highlight was, you know how when people write a book and they get these little bonuses? So our bonus is essentially a 30-day program. It's an online 30-day program. If people pre-order this book, they can join that program and we'll be there for multiple Q&A sessions. There will be more than two experts who will come and talk about stress and sleep and behavior and cognitive activity. We will have nutritionists and registered dietitian be available to answer any questions that people may have. And it's going to be a beautiful community. So they can actually join that program by going to our website, teamshareseye.com, and signing up for the bonuses when they pre-order.
And our social media handle is at sharesimd.com. They can get the website either at sharesimd.com or teamsharesimd, but sharesimd.com. And we are looking forward to seeing you guys. And the 1 month program is going to start in April. So pre-order now, because we will put you into the system already, and we'll get downloadables and all of that stuff started. And we're hoping to, already we've had 3,000 people sign up. So wow. Would love to see everybody there.
Awesome. Well, I'm lucky because I got a galley copy, but I think I'm also going to pre-order a physical copy from my local bookstore so that I can get my parents on this program, because I'm so excited. They're flying here today. I haven't seen them in over a year. And I'm like, I want to cry because I can't wait. And I have them scheduled for their first shot the day after they arrive, 10:30 a.m. And so then they have 6 weeks where, you know, I'm trying to keep them to, my dad loves going to the dollar store. Okay, so I don't know what I'm going to do to keep him from going everywhere. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to say, you sit down, you read this book, you do the program, and then when you are fully immune, then you can go to the dollar store. So this is my plan.
Amazing. Yeah. We love them already. He sounds like an amazing man. I'm so happy that you're seeing your parents.
Yeah. And my dad loves to cook, and my kids will say that his food is better than mine. We've had competitions where we, you know, cook beans, and then we blindfold the boys and have them, you know, taste whose beans are better. So, you know, I like to say mine are good, but his wins all the time. So, Aisha and Dean, this has been fabulous. Leave us with one call to action before you go. What is one thing that we can do this week to improve our lives?
Start by a morning brisk walk, a 15-minute morning brisk walk. With a morning brisk walk, you change your circadian rhythm, or put it in order. You have exercise, you start pushing your metabolism to start more early in the morning. I mean, it affects everything profoundly. So a 15-minute, if you can do more, that's great. But the operative term is brisk. It's not meandering. So a brisk walk in the morning is an amazing thing to start with.
I say play your favorite music and start dancing for 5 minutes.
Yes. Both sound awesome. Okay. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for all the work you do. I can't wait for everybody to read this book, and you're starting this revolution of habit and behavior change so that we can all preserve our brain function and live long, healthy, happy lives. Thank you so much, Drs. Aisha and Dean Sherzai, and have a very plantastic day.
Thank you so much for having us, Yemi. It was wonderful to be here with you. See you soon again.
Hey, veggie lover, I hope that you loved today's episode. Will you take a second and do me a huge favor? Please subscribe to my podcast so that you never miss an episode. You're the reason I'm here, and I want to share it all with you. Thank you for listening, and have a plantastic day.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.